Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host my show, Life After Happiness. Today, my guest is psychic Linda Loren. Now, one of the things I found fascinating about her is that I had the book, Top 100 Psychics in America, and I read her entry in the book, and she got the nickname Gypsy. Now, why don't you tell us, are you there, ma'am?
Yes. Hi. How are you today? Happy Halloween.
Thanks. Happy Halloween. I hope we get some calls. Why did you get the nickname Gypsy? Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, you know, whenever I was in school, I used to kind of give readings. People would ask me, hey, you know, read my palm, read my cards, read my colors. Because I would look at somebody and color bubbles would come. And get an impression as to what those colors meant for me to tell them. So little by little, I gained a small following and then a bigger following. And I started doing readings for a quarter at the counselor's office. And they started referring to me as Gypsy. And that name kind of stuck, and they were going to see Gypsy. And the money would go to Battle of the Bands or any kind of event that the school was having. But
wow.
That's kind of how the name stuck, yeah.
Okay, we do have a caller. Would you like to take a call?
Sure.
Okay. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
I can't hear them.
Caller, are you there?
I'm here. Can you?
Hi. I can hear her.
Oh, great. Hi, Linda. How are you?
Hi, I'm okay. Do you have a particular question, or would you like me to just tell you what I'm feeling around you right now?
Well, either one.
Okay.
Impressions are.
Right now, I feel a lot of the color white and black, those two colors. Now, when I see a white and a black together, it means that the person has a very clear idea of what they want to do in their life right now, but that the black means that they have boundaries that they have put up that might not make that happen for them unless they not be as strict and not be as structured. So right now, you're in a place to have a lot of clarity, a lot of movement forward, especially when it comes to anything creative, in terms of business especially. Just don't put up the walls of boundaries, because you don't need boundaries right now. You just need to express yourself. And that's what I pick up for you right now.
Huh, that sounds great. Although they're two opposite forces, aren't they?
Well, they are, but they do work together. In terms of color and energy, they definitely work together. And you can, I talk about a lot about color in my, I have a memoir out called Medium Rare. And it tells you a lot about why I feel colors can work together. And your colors are not colors as much as they are ways to express yourself right now. So you have to really work on expressing yourself and not feeling boundaries. So sometimes,
Jonathan,
people have to put the walls down, you know, the boundaries down.
Is there a reason why the boundary is there, or any steps that I can do to remove the boundary?
If I would tell you that you need the boundaries, you need them right now. That's why I'm feeling the white with the black. It's like you have the clarity, but you have to kind of, it's like putting your guard down. Don't have a guard up too much. Because when you have a guard up too much, you're just not going to be able to see as clearly as you can see. So there's nothing wrong with having that at all. So I hope that helps you.
Nice, it does, yes.
Okay.
I'm waiting on a
creative project. Is that going to be happening sooner or later, like next year?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I would say to you that within the next 6 weeks to 6 months, you're going to see movement forward. So be clear, but put your guard down. Don't be so strict with what you want ahead.
Okay.
Okay?
I did have a question for you, if you don't mind. It doesn't have anything to do with creative. I was in a nasty accident, and it seems like a lot of things went right for me that day. And I was wondering, is there somebody watching over me? Is there some outer force that's protecting me? And if so,
well, always,
who or what?
Always. There's always. And for you, you have a person on your left who is in your family. And I pick up on an older woman. So passed away maybe around 10 years ago. And there's on your right is a very angelic feeling that I get. So we all have guides. We all have angels who help us. And often our family comes through and our family helps us too. So you're definitely being guided. If you really want to go into it further, we can always address who your guides are in particular, you know, in a reading. But on the phone, we don't really go into that much depth because we have as many callers as we can. But you're in a good place to be able to tap into that. So my thing with you would, if I could leave you with anything, it would be to meditate. That is like the key to everything in your life right now. And in anyone's life, but yours in particular. So I would meditate.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Linda. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care and God bless.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Bye-bye. No, that's it.
That was nice. Okay. She's a really nice friend of mine. You said before the show that you see me with two colors. What did you say?
I got green and purple. And purple has a lot to do with intuition, with guidance that helps us. When we use our intuition, we de-stress ourselves. And purple is a very good color for taking away stress and creating more of a spiritual awareness. Green has a lot to do, in your case, with healing in terms of movement forward,
right.
But it also has a financial concern. And the financial is actually not a concern because you don't have to worry about it at this time. There's something changing around you, and it's changing for the better. So don't think that it's a negative because it's not.
Well, that's interesting.
So you're in a good place.
You're saying that my finances are going to improve.
Right.
You know, for the past few years, they've really been – I think what it is something horrible happened a few years ago. I made a series of financial decisions, and I never really recovered from them. And it's sort of like – and I think another thing I'm doing right now is I'm trying to write a treatment for a television show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something
okay.
And I don't know if you see anything like that or if you pick up on anything from that.
Well, there's something that will transpire – I feel, in terms of business, more likely around February, March.
February, you need to tell me. Now,
yeah.
I want to make something. I would like some clarification of what you mean by transpire. Because with television, this is the reason why this makes me nervous, and this is why I'm asking about this. I've had a lot of friends who will say, "Oh, I'm going to be in this television show, or I'm going to be in this movie," and it never happens. And they talk like it's a done deal, and it's not. When you say transpire, do you mean that it's going to go on the air?
No, I'm saying that you're getting that much closer to someone taking it seriously as an option for something they could develop.
Okay, but not necessarily being on the air. Do you see it being on the air?
Not yet. Not yet. I'm feeling that you're closer to getting it, an awareness of it happening, but that's like the beginning to the middle of next year. And
but you think it will eventually be on the air?
Yes, but I don't feel you're talking until later next year.
Later next year.
Later
so
next
you
year.
See it'll be like, you mean later, when you say later next year, you mean like spring of 2017?
More likely into the fall of 2017, right? But that's time. Everything is time sensitive, and you have to look at that time period, a way to develop your project. I always tell clients that when they see, when I see something for them, and say I see something that you say, oh, I wish that will happen. Well, you know, if I see it as a possibility happening, well, then you can actually make that happen because you already know the awareness is out there. It's definitely more of a yes than a no, so you can work that. But by the same token, I could talk to you and say, hey, you know what, I'm not feeling it. And that no is probably going to be enough for you not to waste your time on that particular project and to maybe do something else. But
right
now,
it's something
I've
been putting a lot of writing
into. Yeah, well, this is very positive. And don't give up, you know, like don't give up the ship now. Don't do that. Just keep going with it, keep working on it, and know that you have some kind of a date down the road that opens you up to actually having this televised, having this happen.
Mm.
That's what I'm feeling. That's exactly what I'm feeling.
Do you see it on network television or cable?
Cable. Right now I'm seeing cable. I'm not seeing network.
That's actually more what I would go to because there's more freedom with cable.
Okay, so then you'd have more of a play with it. You'd be able to work with it a little bit more on cable than you would regular TV. So I would say yes, that, you know, go all out on this. But go all out.
Let me ask you this. What do you think of dreams? Like if someone has a dream of something that's passed on.
Well, my mother was known as the dream lady, and she used to do a lot of dream interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're talking about, if you're dreaming of someone who passed away, and that person is, let's see, how can I explain it? It's if they are in your dream and they're not sick and they're in a good place and they're talking to you like normal, that's a visitation. But if you're dreaming of them and it's of someone who passed and it is a dream that is of them in the hospital or they're not well or it's reenacting something negative that led to their death, that we call that a guilt dream.
Well, let me explain to you what
feel
I mean.
Badly
let me kind
about
of
it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me explain to you what I mean. Okay. I have I've had a dream. You know, this is what I'm going to say. I've had a dream.
Are you talking premonitions?
No. This was a dream where usually when you dream about someone, you dream that's passed on, you see them as alive, and then you don't really, you forget that they're dead. You just see them as there. This was a particular dream where I dreamed about two relatives that had passed on, and I knew that they had died, but they were hovering
mm-hmm.
over me.
Right.
And one of them was my grandmother, and she leaned down and she goes, and I won't say this woman's name on the air out of respect for privacy, but she goes, "The woman you're in love with is your soulmate." You know, is what she told me.
Okay.
And then my grandfather, he leaned down and he goes, "I've got something to tell you, but you won't remember when you wake up." And I acknowledged them both as being passed on.
Right.
So.
Okay. So what are you asking me?
Well, I mean, do you think that dream was a visitation?
They're all visitations. If they're not, if something isn't happening to them right then and there. Like in other words, they didn't. You knew that they died, but you don't know for sure at that point, or did you already know?
No, I knew that they had died.
Okay, so then
I saw them as being entities over me that were not that had passed on.
Okay, the hover kind of. I got it. Okay, so basically, what that would be is more of a visitation. There,
right.
They come to tell us a warning or a message or just to say hello. You know, there's a lot of discrepancies. People don't understand what's going on with the other side a lot of times because the problem seems to be too many paranormal shows. And those shows tend to make it a little too simple, you know, and sometimes a little too complicated. But in terms of the other side can come at any time. And when they're coming, they are giving you messages, period. They could be in a song. It could be something that you are feeling, sensing, a word they're giving you. My grandfather, and I write this in my book, came to myself and my mother when I was like 8 years old. And the way he came to us was we were sitting there and we had just learned of his death.
Mm-hmm.
And we were living in California and we couldn't get home back here to, you know, the New York, New Jersey area to see him one last time. And so we sat there. My mother opened her Bible and she said, "Sit next to me on this little hassock." And I sat next to her and we heard a knock at the door. We were facing the living room door. We heard a knock at the door. The door slowly opened. My grandfather, with his sleeves rolled up, he was wearing a vest, looked at us
I wanted to get up, and my mother kind of put a hand on me and shushed me to just be quiet. And we watched as he waved to us, smiled, and then slowly closed the door and left.
Mm-hmm.
And she explained to me yet later that it was him coming to say goodbye. And that by being in a meditative place, which is where we were when you are reading a spiritual passage or you're just, you know, in a meditative space where you're breathing and you're just calming yourself, that is when manifestations happen. That is when you allow the other side to come through. And
right.
You are giving permission when you are relaxed. So know that going in. If you're relaxed, you're giving permission. So,
well, you know, that's sort of funny.
He came back to say goodbye. You
that's
know,
it's sort of funny. Let me tell you, Mom, I wrote a paper one time for a parapsychology class in college about why I felt that sometimes psychic experiences work for other people and they don't for others, and they do for others. And what I found out was this: you know, hypnosis only works if both people want it, but nobody's trying to call it what.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Right, but nobody calls it a scam. But see, another thing that's interesting is this. Hugging and kissing is only great if both people want it.
Okay.
But it doesn't really work so well when you're trying to kiss someone who doesn't want to kiss you or hug someone who doesn't want to hug you. You know?
Right. Uh-huh.
And
okay.
But see, the psychic will be like, go ahead and read me. Go ahead and read me. But in a way, reading is a very vulnerable thing to put yourself in. In a way, because you're opening yourself up to the idea that you could be hearing things that maybe you don't want to hear. And that's not always...
You mean as the psychic, you mean? As the person doing the reading, the medium?
No,
I mean,
it's the person being read.
Psychic medium,
it's so
the
person
I've been
being
doing
read.
That. Okay, so the person being read.
Well, yeah,
like
you may be
is,
saying things to me that I maybe don't want to hear. You understand what I'm saying? So it's kind of like... I have to be open up to what you're going to say. Does that make sense?
Well, no, you don't have to be open to what I have to say. Absolutely not. Because from a spiritual perspective, you will take in whatever it is that you need from what I have to say.
Right.
It's not a choice. It's a spiritual advantage that you have. So that's really something that you need to remember when you're in any kind of reading.
Now, have you ever given a reading for someone and then you just felt pure evil from them and got sick and couldn't read them?
Well, actually, I one time, and that is basically I was doing a paranormal investigation at a house, and this house was extremely haunted, and these people were extremely negative. And when I first walked into the house, the whole wall in front of me was all photos that dated back to the 1800s of this woman's family. And they were guarding that area so that you couldn't go up to the second floor. Nobody can go up to the second floor of the house. And this woman, because of this family that she had who were so negative, she was extremely nasty, extremely negative, and really difficult to make her understand that there was good in the world, because she only saw evil. She only saw the bad things. And so, yes, that was the one time I can honestly say I really came in contact with somebody that was so negative that they borderlined on evil. But I knew where it came from. And the moment that these people took down the pictures, which, and when I'm saying a wall of pictures, I'm talking about all different sizes, daguerreotypes, all kinds of different pictures that were maybe about 50 of them, all over the hallway of the wall. I mean, it was, like, amazing. And they didn't want people in that house. Nobody wanted to go in the house anymore. So that was the one time I would honestly say that I really didn't want anything to do with a client ever.
Mm.
It was scary. It was scary because negativity is frightening, because negativity is dark, and you have to fight negativity with light. And the way you do that is through prayer and meditation and positive energy. Always focus
on the
positive.
What's the most positive
reading
you've ever had?
Most positive? I have to say that there are so many positive readings. I couldn't just, you know, pick just one that would be standout. But from the standpoint of a woman who for 6 years was trying to get pregnant, and they wanted to go,
the way of a surrogate, and I had said, give it one more shot, one more time, one more time. I really have a good feeling. This was at one of the Hiltons. We had done a group readings with the other side. And I said, there's somebody here who really is saying to me that you're going to have a little girl. And her husband was there too. And he was sitting there and he was like, he started to get really upset because he really wanted, he was crying. That's how upset he was. He was like, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. 3 months later, she was got pregnant, and they have a little girl today. So I was like, really? They named her after my last name. So I was, I thought that was very nice. Lauren, yeah. And it was really sweet. But that there was another, a woman came to me about her husband, and she said his father was, you know, was not doing well, but we think he's faking. You know, I don't even want to be bothered with him. We don't want to be bothered anymore. And I said, you know what? Life is short. You need to express to him that you still love him because he's not doing well. Why don't
faking?
You and your husband go over there?
Hmm? What do you mean by faking?
Faking, like he's not, they're thinking that he's not really, that he wasn't really dying. He wasn't really sick like
that.
Oh,
this. I see.
But he was. The man was. He wasn't pretending. And as it turned out, the two of them, I said to the husband and wife to go over to see and visit his father and go through the photo albums with him. This is going to be a very special time for the three of you. And they did, begrudgingly, they did. But as it turned out, after they did several albums and they came into such a really good place again with him, they were feeling better, they were feeling more optimistic, and he passed away. And she came, the woman came back for a follow-up reading, and she said to me that had they not done what I told them to do, they would have never had a good closure with his father. And all those photos enriched the father's life as well as it did his son. So it really made for mending fences. And
right.
That's something I was very proud of. I was very pleased for them.
Do you feel like, let me ask you this. What's your thought on the election?
I'm not going there. It's too hot of a topic. I have my own preferences, my own preference, which is, I'm sorry, I'm for Hillary all the way.
No. Who do you think is going to win?
Oh, well, that's what I'm saying. Hillary.
You think Hillary's going to win?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you, I don't know if you've read my book, Medium
what?
Rare.
No.
It's a, okay, it's a, it's called the fourth generation, it's called Medium Rare. It's a memoir, and I am fourth generation psychic medium. So my parents on both, you know, both their sides had someone in the family who did this. Like I had a grandmother on my father's side who in Newark, she used to have she was like the neighborhood council, and she used to have people come over to see her, and she would trade readings for maybe bartering butter or take care of my children for the day, or, you know, they did bartering back then. And I grew up, you know, listening to her. She was Italian, but I couldn't speak Italian, but I understood her. And I was able to, you know, have some kind of telepathy with her. But it was a very enriching experience to know that in your family, you have this line that goes back pretty far. And I was very, very surprised when my father explained it all to me after my mother passed away.
Wow. Do you believe in heaven and hell, or do you think it's something else?
Well, you know, my Christian Catholic roots, you know, I was brought up with heaven and hell. So I believe that there's a better place that we go to. I don't really believe in the hell.
You know, it's funny. Have you ever heard of the name Carlton Pearson?
No.
Okay.
I haven't.
He was this minister who worked with people like Oral Roberts, and you know, he did some work with George W. Bush. He was really just as basically right wing as you could be. And one day he had a premonition that it was an epiphany, and after the epiphany, he realized that there was no hell, at least not in the sense that the Bible described it. He felt that everybody went to heaven, and he felt that the problem was that after he started teaching this, he lost his church, he almost lost his marriage, he lost, I mean, you know, it was contradictory to what the church was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to, they were removing him, and he basically got, I mean, like Oral Roberts, his own mentor, told mm-hmm. him, you know, I'm sorry, you can't preach with me anymore. You're not qualified. You know, you're not teaching correct doctrine. And he basically lost it all. And then one day he, I think, got a call to teach at a church. And it was a very interesting church because it was, you know, they had this lesbian minister and this one lady who was HIV, and it was filled with people who were rejects, you know, rejected.
Right.
Yeah. And they accepted him. And I think things have been growing for him. But he's very different now than what he used to be. I mean, like, I'll bet that if he met you, you probably wouldn't even be able to have a conversation with him 20 years ago. I mean, psychic, Linda Lauren, you know, I mean, that
psychic
would have been...
Psychic medium.
Yeah, psychic medium, that would have been a very nasty, you know, conversation. And here he was, like, with people like George W.
Yeah.
Bush and
mm-hmm.
Oral Roberts, and then he went the other way. I mean, like, gay marriage, now he's for it. He's, you know, I'm trying to get him on the show. And it's interesting. Like, he says that, you know, even Hitler's in hell, in heaven, you know. Mm-hmm. He said that Hitler's not more powerful than the blood, and he had a different take on it. And,
right. Well,
but
that,
it was,
I mean,
something.
This is my take. Is all I can say is that I see it differently. I see it, you know, I mean, heaven is a place that I have seen through someone's eyes who has passed.
Right.
And I've seen through my mother's eyes when she passed. And I just see this beautiful place. No one has revealed hell to me. Yeah.
Okay. Someone
so
has revealed hell to you?
No one's ever revealed hell to me.
Well,
they've never
another thing about
hell.
Yeah, but another thing about hell, that's in, about heaven that's interesting is that heaven is a point of view. Like, for instance, when I was about 4, my sister, my older sister, I won't mention her name, sat me down and she told me, "Do you know what heaven is, Johnny?" And I said, "Well, what's heaven?" "Heaven is 1,000 Six Flags." With its roller coasters and amusement parks. And when you really think about it, to a 4-year-old, that makes all the sense in the world. I mean, if you tell a 4-year-old, yeah, see, the street's made out of gold. Gold.
Right. Right.
Like, what do we care? I mean, what does a kid care about? I don't know if you have any kids. Do you have any kids?
No, I don't. No.
But you understand what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Streets made out of gold? I mean, what?
Yeah.
You know, Jasper and all that other stuff. What do they care? You know, a kid wants to live in Six Flags. He wants to go to Disney World every day. He wants to.
Well, that's heaven for
to
kids.
Them, yeah.
Hey, that's what I would say.
Yeah.
That's heaven
so
for kids.
That's what I like about it. It's like the concept of heaven is a very, very. And it's true. Why would a kid want to go to, you know what I mean? I mean, he's gonna want to ride roller coasters all the time. You're also a travel psychic. Is that correct?
Yes, people send me their itineraries, and I tell them best routes or best thing from everything from color to numbers to the best route to do. And the New York Times. They're the ones who labeled me the travel psychic.
For some reason, I've always loved the town in Los Angeles.
Oh, I yeah. Well, then you should go there.
Oh, I've been there twice, but it's finding the reasons that I don't go back.
Maybe you should live there if you have that feeling for it.
I'd like to.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I lived there for a while, and I think it's a nice place. I even had a place in Malibu, and it was really nice. So I would say, yeah, you know, if something's calling to you, go. Like people who have an awareness of, like, say, other countries, or you like certain foods or whatever, you're going to definitely be reflecting a past life or something that you need to do in this life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well,
so
it's really great to have. It's really great to have you on. We're just out of time, but I hope you can come back. Maybe do a part two, perhaps.
Sure, we'll do our best. Absolutely.
Sure, I'll talk to you. Thanks, ma'am. You have a nice night.
Yes. Take care and God bless.